teaching that book. I'm teaching this book. Amen. And but I am taking some of the information that was in there. We're going to talk about it. It's no accident that we live in an imperfect world. It's no accident that we have to do things as Christians that sometimes we look at God, and if I had to ask you to raise your hands in here today, I would have to believe everybody's hands would go up, and maybe both of your hands would go up, that sometimes you find it difficult to live in this world. Difficult to live in a place where Christianity seems to be fading faster and faster. As a matter of fact, it's getting to a point where Christianity has been so muddied anymore that you really don't know what Christianity truly is. The way that people are ignoring reading Bible and ignoring having prayer time and ignoring having the Savior become part of their life, this world has become more and more imperfect every day. But as Christians, we are not afforded an excuse here. I heard no amens there, and I'm not surprised. As Christians, we are not afforded an excuse to say, I'm not going to serve God because of the world that I live in. Brother Dave, it's become too difficult for me to serve God today. It's become too difficult. We should stop going soul winning because nobody's listening anymore. We should stop running the bus routes because kids have become disinterested in church. We should stop doing the old paths and start doing things the new way. That way we have more people come. Well, glory to God, I would rather have 5 people that are here for the old paths than have 150 million people that are here for the new ways. We live in an imperfect world. However, there is a way as Christians that we can overcome this imperfect world that we live in. We can overcome it. We cannot overcome it with ourselves. We can only overcome it through Christ. I know many people, many preachers, that have dropped out of the fight because the world, in their opinion, has become too imperfect. I've heard many Christians drop off because the times in their life have become too difficult and they can't face them any longer. I've had Christians drop out, Brother Brian, because they believe that the Lord doesn't really care about them anymore. I've had Christians that have come to me and say, why would God do this? When in fact, how can we question the Almighty God? We live in a world that is imperfect. We live in a world where we don't have the answers. We can find many of them in the Scriptures, but I'm going to be honest with you. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I'm glad they do. I'm glad that the Lord knows things that I don't, Brother Mike. I'm glad that my mind can't comprehend Jesus Christ. If my mind could comprehend Him, He'd be a pretty dumb God. I can't comprehend Christ. I dare say if all of our minds were put together, we couldn't comprehend Christ. I am so thankful that yet we live in an imperfect world. We have a Savior that is truly perfect. We have a Savior that we can read about in a truly perfect book. And I'm going to be honest with you, the more I think about living in a perfect world, it makes me relatively excited. Do you know why it makes me excited? If we lived in a perfect world, Brother Coolidge, what would God need us for? If we lived in a perfect world, then we wouldn't have to preach anymore, Pastor. If we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to worry about going out soul winning. If we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have jobs as preachers. We wouldn't have a will that has been put before us as Christians. We wouldn't have a duty that's been put before us to serve an almighty God that one day is going to call us to heaven. But before that day comes, we've got to live in an imperfect world. I don't have the answers for why a 27-year-old young man turning his life around dabbles in drugs one more time, and that was his last time. I can't understand why babies don't make it. I can't understand why ladies like Melinda Lamb had to pass away. I can't understand why Miss Mary, and I know she's older, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know a greater Christian. I don't understand it. but one day we will. The question I have to ask myself is, living in this imperfect world, what is our place therein? What is the place of a Christian in an imperfect world? What is the place of a Christian in the place where there's so many injustices today? What is the place that we have? I'm going to be honest with you. In the next few, I would say weeks, but it's probably going to end up being months, we're going to talk about living in this imperfect world. And I'm going to be honest with you. The more I study about this imperfect world, the more excited it makes me to live here. Yes, there are tragedies. Yes, there are injustices. Yes, there are things that we have to overcome as Christians. But I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to start to look at those more as opportunities than obstacles. Because, listen, I thought about this. That sin-sick soul that you led to Christ, living in an imperfect world gave you an opportunity to lead that person. Living in an imperfect world gives you the opportunity to show Christ in yourself. Living in an imperfect world is an opportunity to serve the Almighty One. Living in an imperfect world gives us something to shout about. Living in an imperfect world gives us something to look forward to. Living in an imperfect world makes you come to the realization that we literally are living in a place that one day we are going to be free from. Living in this imperfect world is going to give us the opportunity to look at heaven and cry our eyes out for the beauty. Can you imagine heaven? Oh, whenever I think about the imperfect world, preacher, I think about heaven in the streets of gold. I think about heaven in those streets being gold, are perfect gold. They're not this stuff that we have today. We're talking about perfect gold, transparent gold. We're talking about walls of precious gemstones. I'm not talking about the ones that have dirt and mire inside of them. I'm talking about perfect gemstones. I'm talking about gemstones that Jesus made. I'm talking about dinner time when we all get together around that table and we're all free from that imperfect world. You don't have to worry about a hair being in your food that day, ladies. We are going to be living in a world that's perfect. Your food is going to be done to perfection. My poor wife, every time we go out to eat, and it's always her. Every time we go out to eat, I'll have my steak medium, butterfly, perfect. Let's pray and go eat now. It comes back and it's either a charcoal briquette or it barely got cooked at all. Every time. Not when we get to heaven. Man, when we get to heaven, it's going to be perfect. When we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about snowstorms. Unless in the back of your crazy mind you like snow. Good Lord have mercy, that's almost bad as liking meatloaf. No, they don't have it in heaven, brother. There's no sin in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, can you imagine being there where there's no tears? I've got to preach 3 funerals this week. Can you imagine a place where there's no tears? Can you imagine a place where there's no sorrow? Can you imagine a place where there's no heartache? Can you imagine a place where there's no backbiting and gossip and fighting? Can you imagine a place where there's no more goodbyes? Can you imagine a place where there's no more kneeling at a bedside praying over an old sainted woman? Can you imagine a place where there's no more drug overdoses? Can you imagine the perfect world? Man, that's something to look forward to, amen? Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit. It's no surprise, the Bible says, in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, if you'll turn over there, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started this morning. It's no surprise, the Bible has told man that we will have rough times when we are here. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have sorrow. Let's all stand as we read Job chapter 5 and verse 7. It's real quick. It's almost like a stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Brother Mike Sells, lead us in prayer, please.
Right through Brother David and out in the congregation, Lord. May our lives be like a fruit tree, Lord, out in the workplaces that people know that we're Christians without telling them, that they can see our lives, Lord. Lord, be with Pastor David. Please. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turning over to John chapter 16, we're going to turn to a couple of verses here. We're going to stay in John for two of them. John chapter 16 and verse 33. One of my favorite verses, actually. I love this verse because I realize, and by the way, everybody does, and I'm not going to make light of tribulation. A lot of times when we talk about tribulation, a lot of times what happens is you get the feeling that the preacher is trying to convey to you that your troubles aren't as big as you make them out to be. I've said this statement a lot of times, and I'm going to probably keep saying it for the rest of my ministry. You must understand that your problems are big. Let me say that again. Your problems are big to you, and they ought to be. They're your problems. I never try to look at somebody and say, well, your problems aren't big enough. Because I'm going to be honest with you, my problems to me are big. And they may not be big in your eyes, but in my eyes, they're big. And in your eyes, your problems are big. Each one of us is made differently. Each one of us has different fights. Each one of us has different tribulations. Each one of us has different trials. The devil knows what your weaknesses are, and those are the weaknesses that the devil preys on. He knows the chinks in your armor, and those are the ones he shoots for. And I'm going to be honest with you, Christian, he is a deadly marksman. He knows where we are. He knows where we stand. He knows what makes us tick, and he knows what makes us not tick. And he fights for those things. He goes after those things. He shoots for those things. And we live in a world where it's easier and easier to be overcome by those things. But look at what the Bible says about this old world. This old world we live in, it's getting too hard. It's getting too hard. Look at what the Bible says. In John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me, you might have peace. Would to God we find some folks with peace today. It's difficult. It's not something that's easy to have peace. It's not easy to find peace in a world of turmoil. It's not easy to find peace in a world of temptation. It's not easy to find peace. Our hearts are constantly running 100 miles an hour. Why? Because we can't find peace. Sleepless nights, hurting hearts. We live in a place where these are many. Why? Because we can't find peace. Understand, we're not looking for peace in the right places. You're not going to find peace in Prozac. You're not going to find peace in drugs. You're not going to find peace on the television set. You're not going to find peace anywhere except in your Savior. That's the only place you're going to find peace. You're not going to find comfort in a bottle of alcohol. You're not going to find, and by the way, these preachers here, we preach on alcohol against it. And it's no secret that wine is a mocker, strong drink is written. No secret here. We preach against that. Why? Because you're not going to find comfort there. The Bible says God is the God of all comfort. I wonder if we should go to Him for that comfort today. Verse 33 says, these things that I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Does that mean you are a sad sack? Does that mean you're upset all the time? And I'm not saying, don't misread now. I understand there's going to be times of depression. There's going to be times of discouragement. There's going to be times when you don't understand why God is doing the things that He's doing. I know what you know. I know that problem. I know that pain. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. I know we live in a place of difficulty. I know that we live in a place that is full of torment and trials and testing, and sometimes we shake our fists at God. Why would you do this to me? Don't look at what He's doing as an obstacle. Look at it as an opportunity. When he went over to Carl McDaniel's house, I was hoping to be an encouragement. I was hoping to be an encouragement to Brother Carl, and when I got there, it turned around on me, and he became an encouragement to me. He became an encouragement to me because even in the midst of his tribulation, and there's no greater couple in the world, there's no couple that are closer than those two. When the Bible speaks of a couple being of one flesh, they're the fleshiest people I've ever met. Carl loves Mary with every ounce of his being. He doesn't want to watch Mary suffer. And he encouraged me. He let me know that there are still people over there willing to let God give them peace. First thing I walked into the door, Brother Carl said, "We're at peace with this." You got to understand something. That peace isn't something that you get from inside of you. That peace that you're searching for does not come from inside of you. If the world had their way, you'd be without peace every day. You'd be without peace because there's no rest. There's no rest for the wicked. There's no rest for the people that have no peace. There's no calming for the people that are worried of the cares of this world. There's no peace there. But Jesus says, "I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Have peace in me," is what Christ is saying today. We can have peace living in an imperfect world. When the whole world is running around like a man that just stepped on an anthill and those ants are scattering. When the whole world's running around like that, we can have peace. We can have peace because we have a Savior that loves us. He's promised you that one day he's going to take you out of here. If you know the Lord as your Savior, do you realize that there's going to be a day that you're gone from here? Whether it be by death or the rapture, you're going to be out of here someday? Here we are panicked about what the world is doing. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest so you can walk in peace. I will give you rest so you can walk in integrity. I can give you peace so you can walk in Christian character." How in the world do we stay Christian in this world? We must understand that Jesus has overcome the world, and we must rely on him. Turning back just one chapter, John chapter 15 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." You must understand something. We live in a place that if you proclaim Jesus for just a little while, you're going to at least get made fun of, at the very least. You will get made fun of for carrying your Bible. You will get made fun of for passing out tracts. You will get made fun of for wearing shirts that say "Got Life" on them. You'll get made fun of for all those things. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've been made fun of my whole entire life before any of those things. Why not get made fun of for Christ? For goodness sake, when I was a kid, I had psoriasis on my head. Before they had diagnosed what it was, I had to go around every day in school, with the shower cap on my head. You want to laugh? You can go ahead, because that was funny. Shower cap on my head, and they put this stuff in my hair that made me look like grease. The kids nicknamed me Jiffy Pop for years. Man, that stuck. The shower cap was silvery gray. I tried to be cool. Silvery gray. Don't give me a red one. Or just give me a silvery gray one. I'll be tough when I walk into school, right? Kids are merciless. You know what's funny about that? It's all over with now. I get made fun of for all kind of things. But it's all right. I make fun of people too, amen? We're going to suffer while we're here. Why would we think anything less? Why would we come to think, "Well, Lord, you ought to give me a bed of roses now that I've gotten saved. You ought to give me a life of pure joy all the time." He gives you a life of pure joy. It's just not the joy that we think is joy. We've got to realize that we live in an imperfect world, yet we can still be great Christians in this world. Matter of fact, we can be greater Christians in an imperfect world. Let's look at what it says. We're going to deal first with injustice. How many in here have been treated unfairly in their lives? How many be treated unfairly this morning? See, what's amazing is this. Injustices happen. And all of these things that we're going to deal with is not going to be dealing with the problem. It's going to be dealing with the reaction to the problem. As Christians, you cannot avoid. There's no way that you can sidestep these things. There's no way you can sidestep injustice. There's no way you can sidestep unfairness. There's no way you can sidestep trials and tribulations. They are coming. And if you're not in the middle of a trial or tribulation right now, trust me, my friend, it's on its way. It's probably knocking on your door at this very moment. But understand this, just because you have these trials and tribulations come into your life, that is no excuse to raise up the white flag and start to surrender. As Christians, we are not French. That was a joke. We live in a place, in a society, where they want us to surrender. They want the Christians to tuck tail and run. They want us to stop preaching the book. They want us to stop holding on to this King James Bible. They want us to go away from this book. They want us to go away from the truths contained therein. Why? Because if they can get rid of us, they can get rid of Christ. I say we stay. I say we stay in this imperfect world. I say we take those injustices and look at them and say, Lord is putting this in my path right now as an injustice so I can serve Him. How much closer will you get to God by serving Him through the injustice than running away from the injustice? How much greater can we serve God in an imperfect world today? It's getting to the point where it's very difficult. It's getting into the point because people are indifferent today. There's not necessarily that much hatred about Christ anymore. They're just indifferent. They don't care. What a perfect place to start to serve God. What a perfect place to talk about Him. I was leading the horse around at the fair. It's one of my favorite things to do is lead around the horse. I feel important. Thankfully, the horse follows me with not too much trouble. God, I'm leading the horse around, and I'm going around and around and around and really start to wonder who's walking who. I come around, and I see in the middle of a fair, in the middle of our carnival, I see Brother Mike Sells open up his Bible and show a man how to be saved. And I thought, in the middle of this imperfect world, God still saves people. In the middle of this imperfect world, full of injustices, full of things that are heartaches, full of torment and fear, God still blesses His people with the opportunity to lead somebody to Him. That moment, the world wasn't so bad, was it, Brother Mike? I saw him walking across the parking lot, pumping his fist like he just did boxer in a fight or something. He was just so excited about it. Man, I'm sitting there walking that horse around. We started going faster. The horse starting to trot behind me. Slow down. Do you realize that people are still getting saved today? Do you realize that the old paths are still the right paths? Do you realize that today, even though trials are going to come, we still have victory promised to us if we seek out that Savior? Injustices are coming. Injustices are real. Injustices may have hindered you in the past, but I'm begging you now to read these scriptures that we're going to go over in the next few months and realize that injustices are not something that is an excuse to stay out of the service for your God. They aren't an excuse. They're an exercise. There's something that we can do to realize that we need to be closer to our God. Look at some scriptural examples. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Several injustices surrounding good men. Good people. Injustices happen to good people too. Did you know that? Did you know that good people have tough times too? Matter of fact, sometimes we look at the good people and say, man, why are they going through so much? And by the way, did you know that having money is not an answer? I don't know why I threw that. It's a coupon. Preacher talks about coupons. It's a coupon for you. Did you know that having money does not cure your problems? Did you know that lacking money does not make you better? Did you know the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him? There's no respecter of persons with God. It doesn't matter to him if you're wealthy or if you're poor. I think that we ought to look at people like that. I don't care if you're wealthy or poor. Jesus loves you the same. Jesus died for, did he die for Bill Gates better than he died for me? He said on the cross today, well, I'm going to die for Bill Gates this way. I'm going to die for Brother Dave on this hill. No, he died for us the same. The blood that he shed was God's blood. It didn't matter who he was dying for. He's dying for all of us. You got to understand something. You say, well, my life is too hard. The things that are happening are too hard. They're all targeting me. God loves you. He loves you today just like he loves me. Just like he loves my pastor. Just like he loves the men that are our deacons and our staff. He loves you today. Yes, we live in a world of injustices, but God loves you today. His thoughts of you are more than the sands of the sea. We have no excuse. God loves you. Sometimes I wonder if he just wants to use you. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, the Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, I love my son. I love my daughters. I'm going to admit myself to you just a minute. There are times when I treat my children differently. Not you! Because you're not honest with yourself. There are times when my son, I'm lenient on him. He's the boy. And there's times when I ought not be lenient. My daughter Natalie grew up with the wrath of Dad. It was bad. She was my first, and glory to God, I was going to be the parent of the year. I walked around with a belt in my hand. What you doing now? What you messing up now? I'm going to spank you every 10 minutes. Every child gave me the battle of wills. Every child gave me the battle of spirits. Every one of them. My daughter, Natalie. I love her. By the way, my daughter is a fantastic young lady. And you say, well, she's your kid. She is my kid, and she's a fantastic young lady. I love her with all my heart, and she works hard for this church. I love that fact. Glory to God, because it ain't her daddy that she said. Trust me. She took a bowl of Cheetos. That was her that did the Cheetos, right, honey? Yeah, Tiffany did the Hershey wrappers. Natalie did the Cheetos. She took a bowl of Cheetos. We were in the house downstairs at Mom and Dad's house. She took the Cheetos and went, I said, Natalie, you're spilling Cheetos. She turned around and looked at me. I don't know if you ever had your kids do this, but boy, it just like blowing a train whistle for me. She took the bowl of Cheetos, looked right at me, and went. Oh, she's a little baby. Ooh. I mean, you could see it's like a cartoon, steam coming out of my ears, face turned red. I mean, I was hot. I proceeded to do-si-do with her for a little bit. Pick up them Cheetos. She looked at me and tears running out of her eyes. I said, nope. Whoo! Nope. Whack! Pick them up. Nope. And she's still, and I'm not hitting her like little sissy hits that people give out today. I'm talking real man. I mean, my hand, blood vessels are popping. She sat there with me for 40 minutes. Mom comes down. Dude, you got to stop beating. I said, go upstairs right now. Grandma comes down. You know how grandmas are. Stop. You're killing the child. You're going to kill. I'm going to kill the child if they don't pick up the Cheetos. She's going to die today. 40 minutes. And I'm telling you right now, I swear to you with all my heart. Pick them up. No, smack. Pick him up. No, smack. For 40 minutes. Strong little brat. For 40 minutes we sat there. For 40 minutes she said no. But at the 41st moment, She picked up a Cheeto and put it in the bowl. I said, there's one. Keep going and you won't get smacked. She picked up two. Little brat took her time. By the end of the time, she had put them all back in the bowl and she ran into my arms. She said, I'm sorry, Daddy. Little baby girl, I'm sorry, Daddy. It was an injustice for that to happen to her in her mind. But at the other side of the injustice, she understood that her father loved her very much. Her father cares about her very much. And I don't want there to ever be a time when she doesn't realize that I'm Dad and I'm in charge. I don't ever want her to think for a moment that I don't care about her, but I also don't want her to ever think for a moment that I'm not the one she needs to come to. The reason I say this to you, is there something you're not picking up? You say, well, Jesus is dealing with me and it's an injustice. Jesus is not capable of an injustice. You don't understand. I'm going through some tough times. I got to believe Natalie was going through some tough times. But at the end, she realized that her dad loved her very much. And when you get on the other side of this injustice, when an injustice comes to you, when an injustice comes to you, and you feel that one of God's children has gotten treated better than you have, one of God's children has maybe been given more blessings than you have, don't sit there and tell me that you've never felt this way. Well, they get blessed more than me, and I'm going to hold my breath until God does something. I felt like that. I felt like that, that people, well, they didn't deserve it. Do you think that Joseph's brother felt that he deserved to have the coat of many colors and the love of his father more than all of the other children combined? Do you think that they felt that that was fair? Do you think that they felt that there was an injustice there? There wasn't an injustice there. Israel should have never treated his other children better than Joseph better than he treated his other children. Should have never done that. But he did. And understand this. At the other side of this injustice, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, you find out just how much the Lord really loves them, how much He really cares for them. And sometimes we may not understand. We live in an imperfect world, my friends. We may not understand. But God has given us a promise that He has overcome this imperfect world. He is greater than what we're facing. He is better than what we're against. He has made us more than conquerors through Him. Yes, we live in an imperfect world, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. We have a perfect book. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we need to look at some of these tribulations as opportunities instead of stumbling blocks. Maybe it'll help our lives to maybe live a little bit more with a smile on our face as opposed to living a defeated Christian life. I'm not here to preach prosperity to you because that's a joke. Prosperity preaching is for the fools. But I will tell you this. You have a Savior that wants to bless you. You have a Savior that wants to help you. You have a Savior that loves you. And even though you've gone through an injustice, be not afraid. He's overcome the world. We live in an imperfect one. But I'm so glad He's so very perfect. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for the start, the introduction to living in an imperfect world. Lord, the more I study this, it's starting to change my attitude about things that happen in our lives. Not that I've change the way I react at all, Lord. I'm still working on that, Lord. I desperately need Your help to change my reactions, Lord. I react so poorly to tribulations. Lord, help me to be more like you. Lord, you faced awesome injustices while you were here. And yet without a word, you stood there and took them. You took them for me. You took them for me to provide me a place to go. Oh God, be with these people. Let them start to search for that peace that only you can give. Let them search for that comfort that only you can give. Let this lesson series help to instruct our lives to pray to you and to read about you and to look to you. Let it help us to get through this imperfect world and shout praises to a perfect Savior while we're doing it. Oh God, help us today. Help us to have a great day in the Lord. Help my preacher to be anointed from on high today to preach exactly what you'd have him to preach. Lord, be with each individual that's here today and let them know that you love them. Let them know that you care for them. And Lord, be with us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.